Morning, everyone. It's worth preaching just to take your mask off for 20 minutes, isn't it? It's lovely. Let me just kick Pete's guitar out of the way. Everyone well? Good. I'm going to pop that there. All right. It's nice to be back. This is my first, I wasn't here last week. So it's nice to be back, isn't it, with real people singing songs and worshipping the Lord together in actually in people's company. It's not nice looking at masks, but I'll read the eyes and I'll look at the kids who aren't masked. I realised, I counted up this morning, it's been 70 weeks since I stood here last. It's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time. But we're back and I'm grateful to God to be able to stand up. I do have to get dressed properly now, which is a bit of a bummer, but to not be sat staring at a screen, it's lovely to be back stood here talking to people, so good times. I'm going to be speaking to us from 2 Corinthians 12, if you want to turn there, if you've brought a Bible or you've got your phone or anything. But before I do that, essentially I just want to set the scene. Everything that I'm going to say this morning is sort of set within the backdrop of all of us going forward together as family, as church. That's the backdrop for the whole thing. And now you might think I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic or naive or whatever, but throughout the whole lockdown period and throughout heartache and sadness along the way, I still really believe in church family, in community, here, in the city, gathered around him, church family, our little community, and as part of the church global, but family, community, gathered around him, centered around him, Jesus Christ, our living head. That's what we're doing. I see still a people who serve Jesus, who minister to him through the day-to-day pouring out of the worship that is our lives. We minister that to him and we serve him in that way. We serve one another, we love one another, and through that love that I think Matt talked about last week, other people see that love and they see, well, these people must be people of God. Look how they love one another, look how they love me. And that love draws people to him. This is, and we are representing him as a church on the earth. I still see this. I'm not giving up. I see that God is glorified out of that family setting. This is the backdrop, like I'm talking about, for everything. God is glorified out of that family community setting where we are a city on a hill, as we read in Scripture. And I see again, as part of that family and community together, that we are a people being continually transformed and liberated, freed from the power and the effects of sin in our lives. And we are a people being transformed, continually made more and more like him as we walk and journey together. So that's the scene that we're aiming at, isn't it? That's what we want. That's what we're doing, that's where we're going. Are you with me? That's what I want, that's what we're doing. We wouldn't be sat here if we weren't. We love him, we love to serve him, and we love to be called his family together. So let's read from 2 Corinthians. This is Paul basically on the defensive, having had his ministry and character challenged. So in the first section, I won't read it all because it's too long, but he essentially says, all right, if you want me to sort of give you my credentials, I will. So he starts to boast, essentially, about how great a revelation he has experienced from the Lord. And so that's what he's doing in these first verses. And then as he's continuing this defense, he says this. I'll jump in verse 5, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. He says, on behalf of this man, talking about himself, I will boast, but not on my own behalf. I will not boast. Sorry, let me start all of that again. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except on my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me alone. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And this is it. This is what I want to talk about this morning. Our weakness and weaknesses and the principle of just generally us being weak and the power of God. And the two things and the relationship they have to one another. So in these verses, I love to ask people who I think will know the answer, what was it, by the way? What was the messenger of Satan? I think everyone's got various ideas. We don't know. I always thought it was the fact that Paul had blatantly bad eyesight, but other people think it was just some great trouble, some great temptation, something. It was some acute bodily pain or sickness, or again, it's bad eyesight. Others think it was all the wrongs done to him by false apostles and the opposition that he met with, particularly on account of his speech, because it was contemptible. Whatever it was designed by God to keep Paul humble, this messenger of Satan. And it's just worth noting, God doesn't answer. Paul is pleading with the Lord 3 times. You think it's going to be an answered if Paul prays 3 times, that's it. But the Lord doesn't answer him by removing it. He answers him by saying these words, and this is where we are. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." He doesn't answer by taking the thing away. He answers with grace and power. And these are the things we're sort of just coming in to land on. This is what we're looking at. He answers with grace and power. God's power, God's glory displayed through our weakness. And all I'm doing this morning is reminding us that this is where we need to be. This needs to be our awareness. Paul is not talking about, by the way, and I think it's worth just saying, he's not talking about sin when he talks about weakness. He's not in any way talking about that. That would be something he'd be grieving over, or it would be nothing like that. But like he says, talking about himself, things that he is afflicted with, trials, hardships, persecutions that he is going through. And I love, as it goes on, says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I looked up that little section there. It's really interesting. That rest upon me bit is beautiful. What that's basically saying when it says the power of God rest upon us is that God literally sort of pitch a tent and live in it. And that's what he does through the Holy Spirit in us. He sort of pitches his tent over us. Another way people talk about it is like the all-encompassing Shekinah cloud of glory that sort of comes and just rests upon the temple. That's what God does with us. Through our weakness, God sees our weakness. We're aware of our weakness. And then he says, that's good. That's good. I can live through that life who just sees I don't have the strength to do this. And God comes and he pitches his tent and he lives in us. The power of God may rest on us. It's great. And so God uses hardships, persecutions, trials, whatever you want to think of. We all know them. We've all, like Paul, pleaded with God to take things away from us, have we not? Just in life, you just find yourself saying, Lord, please, please, I can't do this bit, or I can't face that. And I love, you know, I relate to Paul for one of the first times ever when you read this, because you think, well, Paul had the same response. He pleaded and he pleaded, but God uses these things to keep us humble and to keep us aware of our own weaknesses, so that his power can come and be perfected through us, be displayed. Our weakness and God's power. We must remember these things. Because so often, and again, there's all sorts of scriptures you can look at, so often we don't really, we're not very aware of our ongoing, daily, just need and weakness. And we do tend to lean on our understanding more than we should do. And that's why when you read those things, you think, yeah, Lord, help me. Help me to not do that. God's power. This is what we need. The power of God, isn't it? Otherwise, all of this is just hard work and doesn't produce anything. I can't show the love of God. I can't love you like God loves you. This is why I realize I am strengthless. I have no strength at all in myself to be able to live the Christian life. And so I am aware of my weakness. And then God says, right, well, that's a good thing. And I don't know about you, but coming out of lockdown, coming out of all the madness, I feel it acutely now. I feel my weakness. I really do. Everything that's happened here, other places, across the country, across the planet, just, it's, I feel my weakness. I really do. I feel strengthless. Even thinking about sort of coming back, doing it all again, and what are we going to do? What's the world going to look like? I feel acutely in myself aware of my weakness, but that's a good thing. That's what this scripture is telling us. Our weakness and God's power. So here we go. My grace is sufficient for you. That is good news, isn't it? That's God saying to us as we plead with him, not this, please Lord, take this away. God said, my grace is enough. It's enough. So you can go again, Johnny. Really? Yeah, because I've told you, my grace is enough. And my power is made perfect in weakness. And man, that is what we need. As we come back together, as we do church, as we love and serve him, we need that power. I've been thinking a little bit as a picture. You know when kids are sort of jumping and leaping around and they don't get very far? Our Emily is heavy set in terms of jumps. Useless. She's one of the people that puts lots of effort in, doesn't get anywhere. And then what you do, you sort of look at Lucy and Bobby or whatever, and you say, watch this, girls, watch. And then you sort of run up behind them, and you grab them, don't you, as daddy, and you fling them in the air, and you lift them up here, and you sort of sweep them off their feet, and they love it, don't they, kids? They're like, whoa, the power of daddy. And then they want it again and again and again and again, don't they? They want you to pick them up and throw them around, because that feeling is unrivaled, that feeling of sort of power underneath you, just sweeping you off your feet. And I'll be honest with you, thinking about everything that we're going to do and the world we're coming back to, I'm just so aware of my weakness, and then equally just asking God for his power to do that in everything that we do through his Holy Spirit in the church. Lord, please may we feel your power. May we see your power perfected in our weakness, because we are definitely weak. I feel strengthless. When I try and jump, I do this, like my youngest. It's not a good effort. But Lord, please, by your Holy Spirit, come and perfect your power in us as we call out to you. Man, that's what we need. That is what I am unashamedly praying for all of us, that we would feel the weight of his power as we seek to serve him and be him in the city and in everything that we do. Weakness, brokenness, you could think about. The awareness, it's the awareness of those things that causes us to cry out and ask for God's help. And that is what we need. And so Paul, he said, he refers to this messenger of Satan. I just want to pick up on this as well. This is a very spiritual take on things, isn't it? Whatever it was, let's say he was ill, or there was some people that just followed him around, giving him grief all the time. It's a very spiritual response to then say, yeah, these people or these eyes or whatever, it's a messenger of Satan sent to ruin my life. You know, if you took that into a Monday night prayer meeting, it might sound a bit full on. I've got something. I've got a messenger of Satan just buffeting me. But the point is this. We are spiritual people, and I make this point a lot, and I will continue to make it, because the world we live in is not conducive to us thinking in these terms. Everything we see around us is rational, and there's science to explain everything, and this is it, and when we die, it's lights out, etc., etc. We know the story. We are absolutely drenched in it in the lives that we live. But we are spiritual people. Yeah, we've got bodies and all the rest of it, but we are spiritual. and our life and our journey and our walking together is a spiritual one. And therefore, as we seek to take God's kingdom into Chester, into our little families, into schools, whatever it be, we need power to be able to do that, because that's a spiritual thing. And, you know, again, there's things we haven't got time to look at, but we do not, it's not just flesh and blood that we fight against and wrestle with. We are a spiritual people and we need help. That's why it's good to realise we're spiritual, because then you realise we are innately weak and strengthless, and that's why we need power, His Holy Spirit power living in us. So you could ask the question now, and it's an obvious answer, but you could ask, there's a lot of answers to this, I think, but you could get up on the screen now if I'd have had more time to sort something out. You could say, what is the great need of the Western Church? What is the great need? And you're all thinking, well, it's power. It is power. It's true. The Western Church, the church that we know so well, we're so neat and tidy. We know so much up here, but we have no power. And there is so many accounts of, again, Western Christians, missionaries, going to other places and just being confronted by Christians who are not living in this world and don't have lives that we have, who just say, you guys, you've got no power whatsoever. you've got great chat, but nothing else. I was reading this little account, actually. This is from, there's a paper being written on this, and this is one of the things it says. It says, the West and powerless Christianity. A Navajo Christian explained his Native American life experiences, born and raised on the reservation, then moved to the city, suffering further oppression, and finally living in the inner city streets of Skid Row. He joyfully spoke of his faith in Christ and his faithful family who helped rescue him from the streets, but he reported that as he tried to interest other Navajos to follow Christ, they were uninterested, saying, there is no power in Christianity. We need power to survive in this world. And he was aware of the Navajo worldview with lots of spirit activity, and he had not been taught how to handle this as a Christian. And that's just one little snapshot, and you can, this just happens all over, but this is so true and so representative of us as the Western Church. We've got all of this, but no power in terms of the power of the Spirit to transform lives that would make those people say to that guy, what is that? What's happened to your life? Much like Simon, who we read about in Acts, who when he saw the apostles, he said, right, how much can I pay you for that power? What is that? That's what was going on then. No one's saying that anymore because we don't have any. And that is, again, it's a good thing to sort of fess up and realise, because again, I've said this before, the only other option is to just pretend that you do. So we're not going to do that. I'm going to acknowledge my weakness and say, Lord, what is one of our greatest needs? We need your power. The Holy Spirit, like we've not experienced before, living and transforming lives like no one has ever seen. That's what we need. Life transforming power that makes people say, what has happened to you? What has happened to you? That's what we need. Life transformation. The power to overcome sin. Not really talked about much anymore, but that is possible, isn't it? Otherwise, what's the point? But the power to stop doing things that you were previously addicted to. We need this, don't we? In the streets of Chester, in married lives, whatever it may be, people need a power that is greater than them, in their weakness, to massively transform and change lives. This is what it's about. Power to love one another and love others with the love that Matt was talking about last week, the love of God. I can't do that. I am weak. Strengthless in that regard. Help me, Lord. Power to wash one another's feet with our lives. It doesn't come naturally to serve one another in that way. Power to praise and worship with joyful abandon. This is what we need. Power, power, power. And it is made perfect, and God displays it in and through our weakness as we are aware of that and as we cry out to Him for Him to come and tabernacle, set up His tent in our lives. We're inviting Him. Man, are we inviting Him? Lord, this morning, come. Come and live in us and have your way. Oh God, I need you. That is the prayer of someone who is aware of their weakness, their strengthlessness. And God is pleased with that. That's, that catches God's attention when he sees people who daily acknowledge their weakness and cry out to him for his help and his power to live this life. That is a good thing. I don't mind telling you at all, not many weeks ago, I had to come and drop something off downstairs, and we've had the year that we've had or whatever, and we've had heartbreak with things that have happened in church and all the rest of it. And I came, and it was one of the first times back in the hall, and I dropped these things downstairs, and I came and I just sat at the back for a little while, and I just talk about weakness. I just felt like, Lord, I don't know what to do. What do we do? What do we do from here? It just felt like everything had gone wrong in the world and everything was falling apart. It was just one of those moments. I don't mind telling you that I was very acutely aware of my weakness in that time, and I sat here on my own, and I really properly cried like I haven't cried since I was like a little boy, because I was so aware. Lord, what? Help me. Help me do something. Help us to see. Give me an action plan. Do something. I just felt so weak and hopeless and strengthless. But that was a good thing. And that was a good moment that I had all by myself in here. Because that is where God then says, Johnny, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace will be able to get you up so you can go again. That's fine. And also, through that weakness that you are so aware of, that's where I'll show my power. And that's what we need. So may we all get to that point and see and realise, oh, no weakness, no power. You know, we've got it all sorted, haven't we? We've got everything sewn up. We have got great theology. We've got a great theology of the Holy Spirit and new birth and, you know, what life looks like. We've got it all. But in so many ways, I don't think we do. Again, because why? Otherwise, we would be looking like the Acts of the Apostles and all the power that they had going on and transformation and God turning the world upside down. But I feel like I'm trying to do that, but it doesn't seem to work. And so I've reached a point where I'm just like, Lord, now you either come and sweep me off like I do with my kids, or I don't think I've got enough energy in the tank to be able to just carry on. But again, that's a good thing. It's the awareness to say, Lord, actually help me. Help me, please. Please, Lord. It's a good thing. And what I'm saying to us this morning is basically, I bet a lot of people are feeling the same as me right now in terms of going back into life and everything being crazy. And all I'm saying this morning is, don't lose that. Let's not lose that, City Church, as we sort of go forward, and the little backdrop that I set for us as family and community gathered around him, may we never lose that awareness of our weakness and his power then made perfect through that weakness. May we never lose it, guys. I mean it. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Wonderful. So you can think whatever it is. Monday morning's coming. Work. Your families, you know, we're praying for Mari, all the madness that's going on. They just, whatever you look, you see, and you realise our weakness and our need for his power. And we'll pray for Mari. It could be something in your family, I don't know. It could be something in church. It could be whatever. But we need to realise we are weak, but that's a good thing. And we call out to God from that place of weakness. So let's keep that at the heart of things. And I'll pray for us and we'll close. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that your grace is sufficient, Lord, for every single person represented here. There is no one who you cannot keep and, Lord, fill with your spirit. Lord, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for your patience. Lord, thank you that your power is made perfect in our weakness, because, Lord, we certainly are weak and we acknowledge that. This morning, we acknowledge our need for you. Lord, we pray you would show your power, Lord, here in this church. Show your power in me, in my family. Show your power, Lord, in this city, in this church, in everything that we do, Lord. In our lives, Lord, may we just continually depend on you as we should, Lord, acknowledging our weakness, our strengthlessness. Lord, we are strong when we are weak, Lord. And yeah, Lord, I just pray for all of us here. Keep us humble. Keep us where we should be, Lord. And just teach us, I pray, more than anything, how to walk in your spirit, how to know you and your power in our day-to-day lives, in the world that we live in, because, Lord, we massively need you. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that your grace is sufficient, Lord, for each one of us. We celebrate you. We love you, Lord. Amen.